How can you say you are sleeping with the same somebody in the same room? You are not married on the same bed, and you tell me nothing happened. Sexual sin is never an accident. Withholding nothing. You are a joker. That both the lady and the guy, they are jokers. They don't know what they are about. If he's a pastor, he's a joker. The reason why we lose the battle is that we try to engage the flesh in the fight. Spirit of lust, I bind you in Jesus' name. Spirit of lust, I bind you in Jesus' name. You have lost the battle. You can't bind the spirit of lust. You can't bind lust. You must ignore lust. You fix your mind on the spirit. How the spirit can be fed. How the spirit can grow. Not just a matter of mercy. We need help. Not just mercy. We need mercy. But we need help. Because mercy will cover your failings and your shortcomings. But help will make you consistent so that you can finish the journey. Now, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity you have given us to even come and sit at your feet and listen and learn of you. We pray that you help us to open our hearts to receive your word. Let your word bear fruit in our lives. We pray that this word will come as you want it to come, so that we'll receive it as you want us to receive it, that we'll live as you want us to live. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for another opportunity. Last week, we talked about 3 major hindrances to fruitfulness. And for some time, I've been talking about fruitfulness. And we saw that there are 3 major enemies or hindrances to our fruitfulness. And we saw the 3 major enemies as the devil, the flesh, and the world. The devil, the world, and the flesh. These are the 3 major hindrances or enemies to fruitfulness. Now, and we saw that these 3, we have a way of dealing with each of them. And that if you deal with the world the way that you should deal with the flesh, you are making a mistake. If you deal with the flesh the same way you deal with the world, you are making a mistake. And if you deal with the devil the same way you deal with the flesh, you are making a mistake. And I gave 3 simple solutions to these 3 problems. I said, with the world, the solution is faith. With the devil, the solution is fight. 3 F's. With the flesh, the solution is flight. So, faith, fight, flight. An example is, if you try to deal with Satan the way you deal with the flesh, you will never be able to defeat the devil. Because when it comes to the devil, Bible says we must resist him. We must cast him out. But when it comes to the flesh, Bible says you must flee. So if you want to flee from the devil, he will defeat you. And if you want to cast out the flesh, you'll be defeated. So we must know how to combat each of these 3. Now today we are looking at the traitor within us, the traitor within the flesh. The traitor within. Now the second enemy that we are talking about is the flesh. And this one is the most dangerous of the 3 because this one is in us. You see, anytime you are going for battle and you have traitors are more dangerous than enemies. Because for an enemy, You see the enemy from afar. You know that this is an enemy. So you are ready to deal with the enemy. But a traitor is somebody within your camp who is an adversary. An adversary is an enemy within, somebody in your camp who is an enemy. In other words, somebody who is working against your good in your own camp. That is what we call a traitor. And the flesh is a traitor in us. And we must know how to live with somebody who is an enemy. Like Jesus Christ discovered that Judas Iscariot was the one who was going to betray him. And yet he was also one of the pastors, one of the apostles. And he was one of the people who ate with Jesus around the table. And so he had to get the wisdom of God and how to deal with Judas. Otherwise, he's going to make a mistake. I heard a story of an army general who was going to fight an enemy. Then they asked him about his strategy. Then he said, "We don't normally give our strategies out, but I will tell you what I'm going to use. I'm going to use the fifth column." When he said the fifth column, they didn't understand. What he was trying to say was that, you know, they have four columns in their camp. But the fifth column is the column in the enemy's camp. In other words, I am going to find ways of infiltrating the enemy's camp by getting my people in their camp. You understand? Getting people in their camp who align with me in their spirit. So they will betray them. Whenever they plan that we are going to pass this way, they will reveal the secret to us. And so the most dangerous people to deal with are traitors. People who are within the camp, but they are betraying you. And that is how the flesh looks like. Now, if there was no flesh in us, the devil, the world, would not have any success in dealing with us. If we didn't have the flesh within us, the devil and the world wouldn't have any success in dealing with us. Jesus Christ said, "The prince of this world comes, and he has nothing in me. The enemy is coming towards me, but he has nothing in me," because he didn't have the flesh in him. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he didn't have the sinful flesh in him. And so the enemy could come, but there was nothing of the enemies in him. Now, our case is quite different, because no matter how anointed you are, and it doesn't matter whether you are born again, whether you are washed by the blood of Jesus, the flesh is inside you. That is what makes our case quite different. That's what makes our case quite difficult. When the Bible talks about flesh, again, we have three main definitions of the word flesh in the Bible. The first one, the word flesh can refer to the human body. The human body. When the Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, that word flesh is referring to the body. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So the word flesh is in the human, it refers to the human body. You can check Galatians 4:13 also. Then number two, it can also refer to the entire human race or humanity. The word flesh can refer to the entire human race or humanity. When the Bible says, "Behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" The word all flesh, the phrase all flesh, means all humanity. "It shall come to pass after these things, in the last days, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." All flesh, that word, that phrase, all flesh, was referring to human beings, humanity. Another example, so for that one, you can write Jeremiah 17:5. You can write what I just said. Isaiah, Joel 2:28. Then Isaiah 40, verse 5 to 7, which also says that, "And all flesh will see the glory of the Lord." He said, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the path of the Lord." He said, "Every valley will be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low, the crooked path will be made straight." And he said, "Then all flesh will see his glory or his salvation. That is humanity. Now, the third way the word flesh can refer to, that is what I'm talking about. That is the satanic nature, which is in human beings. Satanic nature in human beings. That is the flesh I'm talking about. When the Bible says flesh, this type of flesh that we are talking about is Satan's nature in man. That is, that constitutes the flesh. Now, when somebody becomes born again, that Satan's nature is abolished from the person's spirit. So the person's spirit doesn't have any trace of Satan's nature. But the person's soul and his body still has traces of Satan's nature. And that is what we refer to as the flesh. Now, this flesh, it will seek to control, it will fight against the born-again spirit. There is always a war between the born-again spirit and the flesh. And the two are living in the same body. Your born-again spirit is living in your body. The flesh too is living in your body. And the two are always fighting. That is why the believer always has internal struggles. The believer always has war within. There is something that is pulling him upwards and something that is pushing him downwards to hell. Something is pulling him upwards to heaven and something is pushing him downwards to hell. So there is tension in every believer. Before you became born again, there was no tension. Before you became born again, you could sin without any trouble at all. Because at that time, you were in the flesh. You were in the flesh. Your spirit, soul, body was in the flesh. The flesh, Satan's nature was dominating your spirit, your soul, and your body. So when you sin or you did something contrary to what God has said, nothing will break you. You are free. The moment you became born again, then the conflict started. The flesh was the one who got there first. Before the born again spirit came. So the flesh is the older one. He got into the body first. It's like Ishmael and Isaac. The two can be used to explain flesh and spirit. Ishmael came first and Isaac came later on. So Ishmael and Isaac were having conflicts. Ishmael was mocking Isaac and they were having conflict. They were living in the same house. I mean, they came from the same father, Abraham. The same person. But two different people and they are in conflict. When Adam ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what happened is that Satan's nature took residence in man. It dominated his spirit, his soul, and his body. Well, what Jesus Christ came to do was to abolish Satan's nature from our spirits and eventually from our souls and then ultimately from our bodies. When it is abolished from our spirit, we become saints. When it is abolished from our souls, when it is controlled, then we grow to maturity, we bear fruit. And a time will come where it is going to be abolished from our system entirely. That is when our bodies will change. But for as long as we live in this body, we will always have a struggle with the flesh. And we need to know how to deal with the flesh. Otherwise, the flesh will betray us. Because the flesh is the traitor. Come to 1 Peter 2:11. 1 Peter 2:11. It says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Galatians 5:16. It says, "I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." It says, these are contrary one to another. There is enmity between the flesh and the spirit. So every believer is like Rebecca. Two people are in your womb and they are fighting. You are carrying two twins and they are fighting. Now, but the difference between us and Rebecca is that we get to choose who wins the fight. We get to choose who wins the fight. Depending on what you do, the spirit can win or the flesh can win. Because you cannot cast out the flesh. You know, a time came when Abraham cast out Ishmael. He said, cast out the born woman with his son. But that time has not come yet. A time will come where the flesh will be cast out. I mean, when Jesus comes and we are changed, when our bodies are changed, there will be no place for the flesh. But now, we have to live with the flesh till we die and still be victorious. That is why God in the New Testament gave us grace. Grace was given because of the flesh. Because in the Old Testament, the law couldn't handle the flesh. The flesh couldn't handle the law. They didn't have grace. The flesh couldn't handle the law. There was no way it could handle the law. But when grace came, grace is able to handle the flesh. The law cannot handle the flesh. God gave them 613 laws. And still, the law was not able to keep them in check. Because it was powerless. Bible says, let me read Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Romans 8, 3. It says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. The law was weak against the flesh. It was weak. It couldn't handle the flesh. Only grace can handle the flesh. Now, let me give you some characteristics of the flesh. Number one, the flesh has two sides, good and bad. There's a good side of the flesh and there's a bad side of the flesh. Now, both the good side and the bad side, God hates them. The tree Adam ate had a good side and had an evil side. But the good side was as evil as the evil side. God hates everything connected to the flesh, whether good or bad. God doesn't want to see, because it represents Satan's nature. There's an aspect of goodness in Satan's nature, but God hates it. That's why God will settle for nothing less than a new creation. That I will recreate everything. So God is delivering us from the old creation completely into the new creation. He has touched our spirits. Now our spirits are delivered from the old creation. Now, our minds and our soul have to be delivered by a process of renewal of the mind. Then a time will come where our bodies too will be released or delivered from the old creation, so that we'll have glorified bodies. Hallelujah. So, the two sides of the flesh, the good side and the evil side, both are evil. Both stink. They stink in God's nostrils. Anything that has got to do with self, flesh, self-effort, God doesn't like it. The good side of the flesh is a side that will urge you on to do good works, to seek God's approval, to seek recognition. It is the good side of the flesh. It can urge you on to do even spiritual activity. But once it has its source in the flesh, it doesn't please God. For the Bible says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It says, the flesh can never please God. So it doesn't matter whether the activity is good or spiritual. When the motivation is from the flesh, God doesn't respect it. That's the good side of the flesh. God hates it. Vainglory is from the good side of the flesh. Vainglory, so that you will get recognition, so that you will get glory before people. That one is from the good side of the flesh. God wants to deliver us completely from the flesh. So, it's not about whether what you are doing is good or bad. It's about what is the source. You can do a good thing, but if the source, the motivation is fleshly, God doesn't count it, including giving. So, you can give and your giving will not touch God. Because the motive behind the giving is fleshly, not spiritual. It's coming from the good side of the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God hates it. Anything that you do for God, that doesn't come from a foundation of love for God. God doesn't know it. He doesn't see it. Come to 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8. Verse 3. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Now, if you don't love God, he doesn't know you. Therefore, anything you do for God that doesn't spring from a foundation of love for God, he doesn't get it. Because it comes from the flesh. The good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It has a good side too. So the motivation should be, I love God. Not I love people. Not I want to be seen. I love God. So we must always judge our actions by the source of our motivation, not the actions themselves. Because you can give your body to be burnt. But if that comes from love, God hasn't said. He said somebody can give his body to be burnt and it's not coming from love, so God hasn't said. Because anything that must touch God must come from love. That is the only thing that God trusts. Self-effort, helping God, comes from the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's the good side of the flesh. It is the flesh that thinks it can help God. You can't help God. It is your flesh that will make you think that you can help God. God doesn't need your help. God needs your availability. In fact, he told Mary, he said, I don't need the help of anybody to put a baby in your womb. I only need your womb. That no flesh will glory in my presence. Because one attribute of the flesh is that the flesh puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. But love edifies. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 1. He said, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. The flesh glorifies itself. So God hates the flesh. There are some believers who at the primary level of your Christian life, God will teach you the difference between good and evil. So all that you are concerned about is whether the thing is good or the thing is evil. When you are growing, then God comes to teach you the difference between good and right. That is at the maturity level, you are not concerned about good or evil. You are concerned about good and right. Because not all good things are right. Not all good things come from God. Anything that comes from God is good. But not all good things are God things. There are some good things that are not God things. And they come from the flesh. And the devil is subtle to the extent that sometimes he will allow you to shun the evil works of the flesh, but you embrace the good side of the flesh. That is the source of our motivation. Now, the evil side of the flesh is seen in evil works. Come to Galatians 5:9. Galatians 5:9 gives us a summary, not a summary, but a gist. It's like just a short list of what the flesh produces. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Now, what he's saying is that when the flesh is allowed unbridled freedom, when it's given freedom, when it's uncontrolled, these are the things that he will produce. Even in the believer, not the unbeliever, in the believer. In the unbeliever, the flesh produces fruit because the root of the flesh is in the person's spirit. In the believer, The flesh cannot produce fruit, but the flesh produces works. So we have the works of the flesh in the believer, and the fruit of the spirit in the believer. But then we have the fruit of the flesh in the unbeliever. Now these works are works that everybody who is a believer, some of these things can be found in you if you allow the flesh. Which means that it's not a matter of being born again. Being born again puts you in a position outside the flesh, but it doesn't deliver you from walking according to the flesh. You can still walk. That's why there are believers who can still go exhibit all these works. Why? Because they have allowed the flesh freedom to operate. And once you give it freedom to operate, it can go to the highest point. It can get to the highest point. A believer can murder. Murder is in it. Even witchcraft is in it. Witchcraft. In the King James, witchcraft is in it. Here, it is sorcery. Sorcery, idolatry, it's all works of the flesh, which the believer can prove. It says, fornication, adultery, uncleanness, lewdness, talking about sexual immorality, impurity. All these things are works of the flesh. Sexual immorality includes fornication, adultery, bestiality, lesbianism, homosexuality, pornography, masturbation, all forms of sexual morality. They are works of the flesh. And if you don't control the flesh, you can do that. Idolatry, idol worship, sorcery, witchcraft. Witchcraft simply means the desire to manipulate people. And we have a lot of witchcraft in the church. There's witchcraft that is the desire to manipulate people, that has its roots in demonic power. That is somebody using demonic power to manipulate you. That is witchcraft. Now we have witchcraft, which is work of the flesh, which is using words or hype to manipulate people. It's witchcraft. We have a lot of witchcraft in the church today, where people will use guilt to provoke you to give. It's witchcraft. Advertising falls under witchcraft because they are using hype to manipulate you to buy their products. It's witchcraft. So we use witchcraft in the church a lot these days. And it's all a work of the flesh. That is why you have it included here. This was written to believers, not unbelievers. It was talking about drunkenness. You think you cannot fall into drunkenness? You allow the flesh room to operate. I've seen pastors who fell into drunkenness. You allow the flesh room to operate. You will find yourself drinking, becoming an alcoholic. How can somebody who is born again become an alcoholic? Somebody who is gifted. The whole America, sub-prophetic gifting. You can check on the internet. His name is Paul Kane. Then he became an alcoholic. Because anything is possible for as long as you don't know how to control the flesh. You don't keep the flesh in check. You can go any depth. You can go any height in the work of the flesh. Then he talks about verse 19. He talks about hatred. Hatred is a work of the flesh. Hatred. In fact, the Bible says the one who has hatred is a murderer. He said, if you hate your brother without cause, you are a murderer. In the New Testament, you are a murderer. And it's a work of the flesh. Then it says, contention, battle for significance, contention. what we call chimamintri, contention, jealousy, work of the flesh, outburst of wrath, outburst great anger, work of the flesh, selfish ambition. You see, ambition is also work of the flesh. Selfish ambition, dissension, bringing division, heresy. Heresy too is work of the flesh. Heresy, wrong doctrines, teaching wrong doctrines. They are all rooted in the flesh, work of the flesh. Envy. Envy is deeper than jealousy. Envy is when jealousy grows. It is work of the flesh. Murder, drunkenness, revelries. Revelries simply means party spirit. Believers who like, who have the partying spirit. Party. They are public spirited people. Party. They love pleasure. They are all works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh, the result is death. The result is death. Come to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. It says, let me from verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to deeds, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So the end result of walking according to the flesh is death. In fact, the flesh can cut short your life. Living according to the flesh can cut short your life. It can destroy your destiny. It can make you unfruitful, unproductive. It can make your service incomplete. It can make God reject your service, not your person, but your service. So, walking in the flesh is not good for the believer. That is why God wants us to know how to deal with the flesh, how to control the flesh. Because the flesh can disgrace you. Number three, the flesh is what connives with the devil to prevent you from being fruitful. The flesh is what connives, he's the one who connives with the devil and the world to prevent you from being fruitful. So he's like the tongue that will choke the seed from becoming fruitful. That is the flesh. If he's not checked and dealt with, you will never be fruitful. If you don't know how to control the flesh and deal with the flesh, you will not experience fruitfulness in your life as a Christian. Your life will always be at a certain point. That is why there are some believers who are born again, anointed, but still the limitation in their family limits them. Because those things are not dead. They are dead. You are covered because you walk according to the Spirit. The day you decide to live according to the flesh, those things are activated. The flesh is a mocker, like Ishmael. The flesh can disgrace you. It can disgrace you. Check the Bible. Anybody who was God's man, whose ministry was affected one way or the other, the flesh. Look at Balaam. The flesh, covetousness. Because of that, his ministry was cut short. In fact, he was killed. Look at Samson. The flesh, sexual immorality. Because of that, his ministry was cut short. Listen, Samson's ministry was one of the most unique ministries in Israel. He had the spirit of might. And Samson was not a macho man necessarily, but he was somebody who had supernatural strength. And he was not only a strong man, he was a judge. He judged Israel for some time. And one man who could kill 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. Nobody could conquer Samson. Only the flesh. It was only the, because you see, Samson was somebody who was self-centered. His anointing was used for himself. You provoke him that he will beat you. That all the battles he fought them for himself. Not for the people. He was sent to lead Israel, but he fought the battles for himself. Somebody took his girlfriend. He went and burned them. Then, Samson was disgraced. You know what happened to him? They took his eyes. The flesh can take away your vision. Your whole vision can be lost just by working according to the flesh. If you don't check this thing called flesh, it can take away, it can steal our vision. The very vision that God has given you, it can steal it. Then he was grinding corn. Somebody was supposed to lead the nation. He was grinding corn. Grinding corn is not a bad thing, but that was not what Samson was created for. He was created for something bigger. Leading Israel. But his life was cut short. Look at the way he died. He died while the enemies were mocking him. The flesh will mock you. It will mock you. It can cut short your life. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 6. That is why, you see, anything that has got to do with sin will not help the believer. It doesn't matter what you understand by grace, understand by what. Anything that has got to do with sin will never help the believer. Never help you. It doesn't matter whether, the issue is not whether God will not forgive you. The issue is that it will affect you. Because Bible says the wages of sin is dead. It's wages. It's dead. Romans 8 verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the spirit set their minds on the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, the throne of grace has two sides. We have one side we call mercy, and one side we call help. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and to find grace to help in your time of need. Now, don't take just the mercy side and leave the help side. The mercy side covers our failings. The help side is what enables us to control the flesh. So the believer is cheated when he's always receiving mercy but not receiving help. Because the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that grace contains mercy and help. When you fall short and you go before God, you obtain mercy. He will forgive you. But in order for you to be consistent, and for your vision not to be interrupted or suspended, for your destiny not to be cast short, you also need help so that you can stay on course. Just not just a matter of mercy. We need help. Not just mercy. We need mercy, but we need help. Because mercy will cover your failings and your shortcomings, but help will make you consistent so that you can finish the journey in peace. The flesh can rob you of your reward. It can rob you of your reward. The flesh. That is how dangerous it is. It can rob you of your reward. Both on this earth and in the world to come. That's why Paul said, those who practice these things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom is an inheritance. The kingdom is a reward. Heaven is not a reward. But the kingdom is, and he says, those who make a practice of the flesh, those who walk according to the flesh, they make a practice of them. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, they will be disinherited. And that is why we need to be serious with this thing called flesh and learn how to control him. Otherwise, he will disgrace you and rob you of your reward, both in this world and in the world to come as a believer. So our fight really is not with the devil. Our fight really is how to control the flesh. That is the whole Christian battle. How to control the flesh. Because if the devil, if the flesh is controlled, the devil is kept at bay. The world, that's what Paul said, that I've been crucified to the world and the world to me. What it means is that because I've controlled the flesh, it's virtually like dead. And what can you do to a dead man? You can't do anything to a dead man. Praises will not affect a dead man. Neither will criticism affect the dead man. He's dead. He doesn't hear your praises, doesn't hear your criticism because he's dead. When the flesh is too strong, what we call ego in psychology or in sociology is the flesh. It's the flesh. It is a self-centeredness. Everybody has it, but it has to be controlled. When it is so strong, it suppresses the spirit. That is why the pathway to glory is always death. Dying to the flesh. Dying to praises. Dying to recognition. Dying to reward. That is the pathway to the glory. Not only dying to the evil acts of the flesh, but dying to the good side too. For as long as there's vain glory, you don't see the main glory. If there is vain glory, what about the main glory? The vain glory is when the flesh wants to be appeased, satisfied, recognized. If you do something and nobody appreciates, you stop. It means you are motivated by the flesh. If you see that what your personal ambition is not taken care of, you get sad. It means it is the flesh. So our fight really is with the flesh. How do we control the flesh? Because the flesh is the only thing that will disgrace you as a believer. Make a mockery of your life. There are people who never were the same again. One encounter with Mr. Flesh, that was all. And I was telling you the other time that when Satan has his back with you, he will wait till you are on a big platform. That is when he will come and say, "Tell me, I do a bargain." When you are on the big platform and with all these dignitaries, then Satan is coming. What is he doing here? Telling me, "I do a bargain. I want to take something from my bag." Then everybody will see that you have Satan's bag. That is why, when you have his purse now, give the purse to him. Otherwise, as you are growing, the purse becomes a bag. I'm speaking in parables. That's why sometimes when God's promotion, when it's time, God will promote. But when you have not learned how to control the flesh, that same flesh will make nonsense of God's promotion. It will make nonsense of God's promotion. It's like God will promote you, the flesh will bring you down. Have you not heard that people say that it is not your aptitude that determines your altitude, but it is your attitude. It's not your aptitude, that is your skills and your talents, that determines your altitude, the height you can go, but it is your attitude that determines your altitude. He said, and another one, he said that, they said, charisma can take you to the top, but character will bring you down. He's not talking about the flesh. But the sad news is that you cannot cast out the flesh. No matter, you see, no matter how, even when you take your bath, you do this. Rub your hand on your, rub your finger on your hand like this and smell it. It's the flesh. No matter how clean, no matter how lighted a place is, you will by all means see darkness somewhere. There's darkness here. Under your chair, there's darkness. In the cupboard, there's darkness. So the issue is not fighting the flesh. You can't fight the flesh. Because that is why sometimes people try to conquer the flesh and they are conquered. Because they are trying to fight the flesh. They are using the wrong formula. You can't fight the flesh. You don't control the flesh by fighting it. We don't fight darkness. We turn on the light. Now, how do you control the flesh? It looks so simple that you will say, ah, is that all? Number one, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It says, for as long as you walk in the Spirit, you will not have the time to fulfill the lust of the flesh. He didn't say, walk in the Spirit, so that, he said, and ye shall not. So it means that walking in the Spirit is the antidote to walking in the flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? You can walk in the Spirit by minding the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 5. Minding the Spirit. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Everything has to do with the mind. What you focus on, what you give attention to, you give life to. Do you know that the Bible says the devil has been defeated? The devil, the world, sin has been defeated. It doesn't mean they cease to exist. If you turn your attention to them, you give them life. Turn your attention to Satan, you give him life. That is why there are Christians who spend all their time studying demonology. Then they realize that they have been demonized. Because what you focus on grows. The more you focus, the time you will spend focusing on studying the kingdom of the devil and reading books that are not inspired by the Holy Ghost and people, what they have seen in hell and what they have seen in the occultic kingdom, and the more you are filled with fear. The time that you use to study those things, use that time to study how to grow in the things of the Spirit. You spend that time praying. Spend that time fellowship with the Holy Ghost. It is what you set your affection on. If you set your mind on the things of the flesh, you give power to the flesh because you are feeding the flesh. If you set your mind on the Spirit and you ignore the flesh, don't fight it. Ignore it. Just ignore it. It's just a matter of time. It will die. It will just be as if it doesn't exist. Ignore it. And then focus your mind on the Spirit. The reason why we lose the battle is that we try to engage the flesh in a fight. Spirit of lust, I bind you in Jesus' name. Spirit of lust, I bind you in Jesus' name. you have lost the battle. You can't bind the spirit of lust. You can't bind lust. You must ignore lust. You fix your mind on the spirit, how the spirit can be fed, how the spirit can grow. And by so doing, you are ignoring it. He said, reckon therefore yourselves dead unto sin. Reckon means consider. Consider that you are dead to sin. It means that don't even mind him. At first, he will try to get your attention. Scratch you. Sometimes scratch you. Just don't mind him. Focus on the spirit. He will try to pull your trouser like the yam advert. When he threw the yam phone away, the phone said, please don't mind him. I have to slide them back. So the flesh will be saying, please don't mind him. I have this. Just don't listen to him. Focus on the spirit. Focus on feeding the spirit. Focus on minding the things of the spirit. Don't give attention to the things of the flesh. Mind the things of the spirit. Mind meditation in the word. Mind, the more you mind gospel music, the less you have a desire for worldly music. He said, walk in the spirit and you're not for the lust of the flesh. The more you fix your mind on godly music, the more you have a desire for godly music, and the less your desire for worldly music comes. But instead of putting on the light, we want to fight the darkness. It doesn't work that way. John the Baptist said, he must increase and then I must decrease. When he increases, automatically you will decrease. But if you try to decrease first, that's also flesh. So when you ask, you said, I want to fight the flesh. Come to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 22-23. It says, okay, 20, verse 20. Therefore, if you die with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, you subject yourselves to regulations, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. It is not self-abnegation, asceticism. It is not denying the body of what the body needs. No. That's not how we combat the flesh. It is pursuing the spirit. Being filled with the spirit. It said, flee youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness. You see, the degree to which you are pursuing, the degree to which you are fleeing. If your pursuit is strong, your fleeing is strong. Because you are fleeing because you are pursuing something. So it's not enough to say, I'm fleeing. No. What are you pursuing? Once you are pursuing and your focus is not broken, you are fleeing. Of course, we'll come to the practical side. So to fight darkness is futile. Just put on the light. Just put on the light. The more light enters you, the more light enters you, the more darkness leaves you. The more light enters you, the more lust leaves you. The more you focus on the spirit, the less the flesh has a hold on your life. But if your focus is on the flesh, and you want to fight the flesh, you will not win the battle because you are applying the wrong formula. Number two, how to deal with the flesh. You see, one of the strongest points of the flesh is sexual immorality. That is one of the, because sex is like self-worship. I'm talking about within the confines of God's boundary. It's like self-worship. It's like indulging in yourself, worshiping yourself. So, if we can deal with the flesh, then we must flee sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6:18. It says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin a man does outside the body, but he who commits immorality sins against his own body. Now, people sometimes see that when you talk about these things, they will raise flags. You are preaching sin consciousness. You must preach righteous consciousness. We are under grace. Listen, Paul was the greatest preacher of grace. He was the greatest preacher of grace. Nobody has ever taught grace better than Paul in the whole Christian life. Nobody. Paul was the greatest, because where Paul was coming from, Paul was a strict Pharisee. He said, according to the law, I was blameless. He said, a Pharisee of a Pharisee. So strong in it, steeped in the law. For Paul to be able to come back and preach that the cross of Christ is enough for salvation, it was a radical transformation. But look at Paul talking about the fact that we must flee sexual immorality. The fact that you have grace doesn't mean that you must indulge in sin. In any case, if the grace you have cannot prevent you from overcoming the flesh, it is not the true grace of God. Are you getting me? If the grace you have cannot prevent you from living according to the flesh, it is not the grace of God. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and live soberly and righteously in this present evil age. Titus 2:11. That is the grace. He said that we might receive grace to help in time of need, in time of weakness. Grace is help. So don't take the mercy side of grace and run with it and leave the help side. Flee sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is a sin that we must flee. Not the new believer. The pastor must flee it. The elder must flee it. The apostle must flee it. The member must, everybody must flee it. Because I said, like I said, that is one of the strong points of the flesh. Sex. It's one of the strong points of the flesh. So if you don't flee it, that is what is going to push you into all the other forms of manifestation of the flesh. Now, when we say flee, flee is not spiritual. Fleeing is physical. Fleeing is physical, not spiritual. Fleeing doesn't mean you make up your mind. No. Fleeing doesn't mean you get understanding of the dangers. That's not fleeing. Fleeing doesn't mean you make up your mind not to do it. That's not fleeing. Fleeing is physical, avoiding it. Fleeing is avoiding it, not enjoying it. When it says flee sexual immorality, it says avoid sexual immorality. Avoid it. It shouldn't happen in the first. Avoid it. So, God's determination of, let me put it this way. When it comes to sexual immorality, the one who avoids is stronger than the one who endures. Do you get me? The one who avoids is wiser than the one who endures. In other words, if I tell you that I'm going to prove that I'm strong, let me watch a naked body and nothing happened to me, I'm not strong. To God, I'm not strong. My strength is seen when I avoid it. That is wisdom. So the Bible says in Romans 13:14, dealing with the flesh. Romans 13:14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. He says, don't make room for the flesh. If you give him room, he will fulfill the lust. If you give the flesh room, make provision for him, he will fulfill it. So, denying the flesh, the provision to fulfill its lust. That is how you control the flesh. Don't make any room for him. If you want to overcome sexual immorality, if you want to avoid it, make no provision for the flesh. That is why Joseph had to run away from the house physically and leave, and in the process, he left his garment. It was a physical fleeing, not spiritual. Physically, he ran away and he made up his mind that I would never be in the same room with this woman. Check Genesis 39. Let me show you something. If we don't teach these things, we can't handle the glory of God. Because the devil will only be waiting for us at the popular corner and then give us one knock. Then all the buckets of glory that God has given us, yes, spill off. 39 verse 10. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her, to lie with her or to be with her. Potiphar's wife was giving him pressure day by day. And Joseph made up his mind that, number one, I will not sleep with her. Number two, I will not also be with her. Physical fleeing, that me and this woman, the same room, God forbid. Because Potiphar's wife was not an ugly woman. She was a wife of Potiphar. Potiphar was a big man. Big men have beautiful wives. Yes. So it wasn't a small temptation that Joseph saw that he was a young man, active. He's an active young man. He's not dead. He's very much alive. There's power in his body. He has electricity in his body, young and alive. The only way to overcome that one is to flee, not to endure. You can't endure. Don't think you are smart. Don't think you are strength. You have no strength. We have no strength at all. Listen. That's why God's wisdom is, God says flee. If God says flee, it is flee. When Jesus Christ told people, he said, when you see that Judea, Jerusalem has been surrounded by armies, those who are on the mountain, let them flee. He said, when you see that the soldiers have surrounded Jerusalem, he said, those who are in the city, flee to the mountain. The instruction at that time was flee to the mountain. He didn't say go to the temple to pray. So you wait and see the army surrounding Jerusalem. Then go to the temple and you are praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind, you will be killed. The instruction was flee, not pray. You don't pray about sexual immorality. You flee it. You don't pray about it. If you flee it, you don't have to pray about it. How do you flee? Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know that this person, you have some attraction for this person. You must make no provision for the flesh for the last.
you know that this lady called Delilah, there is some weakness you have for her. Then you go and put your head on her lap. What is wrong? And you know that your hair contains your strength, your glory, your everything. Then you put your head on Delilah's lap. No wonder Delilah afflicted him. And when he was so weak, she took the scissor and began to cut his hair. That was Samson's end. There are some people you must avoid, intentionally avoid. If you see any man of God who has made it to the top and he is fulfilling destiny, go closer and ask him. He has some boundaries around him. He has boundaries around him. Nobody has a right to just come as close as they want. No. There must be boundaries around you. People must not see that they can just come as close. I'm talking in terms of sexually, not physically or spiritually. Sexually. That is when you are fleeing. Nobody has a right. If somebody touches you in the wrong way, you must be bold enough to say, no, please, don't go to this area. Don't go to this area at all, please. Otherwise, you are making room for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I remember when I was youth president, we went for a camp meeting at Katanga Hall. Then, in the course of the camp meeting, there was this guy who was a student of Katanga, who was also part of the youth, and he was a medical student. He's not a doctor. And this lady went and slept in the guy's, because the guy was a student there. He had his own room. When we went there, he didn't join us. He went to sleep in his own room. And this lady went and slept in the guy's room overnight. Then, because I was the president, the matter came before me. So, the guy said, the lady was having menstrual pain. And he came to me for consultation because I'm a doctor. And I have to detain her. So, I detained her because she was going through pain. I said, well, I don't have any problem with that. I don't know how God sees it. But as far as I'm concerned, the two of you have committed fornication. I said, as far as I am concerned, as a president, the two of you have committed fornication. So you need to go through a process of restoration and repentance, just as anybody who has been caught red-handed. Because is that a consulting room? Is that a hospital? How can you say you are sleeping with somebody in the same room? You are not married on the same bed. And you tell me nothing happened. You are a joker. Both the lady and the guy, they are jokers. They don't know what they are about. If he's a pastor, he's a joker. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know what he's about. He has not discovered purpose yet. He's not serious about purpose and ministry. If you are serious about ministry and purpose and about destiny, you will not put your destiny on a give somebody on a silver platter like that. No, nothing happened. Who cares whether something happened or not? Nobody cares. But listen, nothing happened. Fine, nothing happened. But you are not serious. You are a joker. Because you are toying with your life. You are like Samson who put his head on Delilah's lap. Toying with your life. Make no provision for the flesh before the last. There are some friends you must cut them off. Listen, sexual morality is not the unpardonable sin. But it is one of the things that can be avoided. And because of that, we must do everything to avoid it. Because it's one of the tools of the devil. Especially when we are young and active. If you are not yet 60 years, in fact, even those above 60, even, I mean, for as long as you are alive and active, you must protect yourself. Protect yourself. It's not enough to pray in tongues. There are certain places you must stop going. Have accountable relationships. Yeah. Have accountable relationships. One day I told somebody, I said, he was showing me some website. He said, it's good if you have children to get some website, they call them filters, so that they can automatically block certain things from your computer. And I said, no, it's not whether you have children or not. If you are serious, you must get them. So that no nude picture can mistakenly find itself on your computer. That is why we have accountable relationships. Okay? It is equally what God looks at the heart. But when you give God's enemies opportunity to blaspheme, God punishes you. Nothing may have happened, but you have given God's enemies an occasion to blaspheme God, like David did. Nothing may have happened. I was telling somebody that, look, you are a man of God. You are going on a preaching trip. And you are going with just one lady. Just one lady on a preaching trip. You are not serious. Nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. But you are a joker. Because you will give God's enemies occasion to blaspheme. Some people even sleep with the ladies in the same room and they come out and say nothing happened. You are a joker. It's true. Nothing might have happened, but you are not a serious person. Your mind is not on ministry. Your mind is not on purpose and on destiny. Even people who have made it to the top, they are putting measures to protect themselves. How much more? You are floppy anywhere. You are yet to climb. And you think you have everything, all that it takes. I was listening to Suleiman, and he said that when he goes outside to preach, his hotel key is kept by his assistant. So when they are going out, they lock the door and then they take the key away. When they come and open. Then he said, the reason is that I don't want to create room for anybody to come and say anything, because he travels a lot without his wife. These are some of the measures that he has put in place to check himself. Not that he is weak. He's not weak. But that is wisdom. Strength is in wisdom. Strength is not in how smart you are, how you can endure. Strength is in wisdom, how you can avoid. Prevention is better than cure. Hallelujah. These things are necessary things that we need to know. That is how we can make it to the top. It's not, the anointing is not enough. I'm telling you. I've read stories of people who were super anointed. Super anointed. Just one miscalculation with the flesh. That was their end. That was their end. You don't hear of them anymore. There are many people who are still alive doing ministry, but they are not being fruitful because of compromise in the area of immorality. And we are a group of young people in the church. And that is why we need to exercise care. We need to be very careful so that you don't lose your destiny, you don't lose your purpose to immorality. I'm not saying it's not forgivable. No, God will forgive you. But you will lose something. You will lose your joy. You can even lose your place. You can lose your place. Do you know know how Reuben lost his place to Joseph? Because Reuben climbed the couch of his father. Joseph resisted Potiphar's wife. So in 1 Chronicles 5, Bible says the double portion was for Reuben, but he lost it to Joseph. This that, you see, God is wiser than us. Let us not think we are smart. God is wiser. The one who wrote the Bible says flee. You are saying I will endure. Somebody is rubbing himself against your body and you are tolerating it. You are allowing it. You are making provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust. And don't come and tell me that it was a mistake. It was an accident. Because it is true, sexual sin is never an accident. It's never an accident. I'm not above it. I'm not above it. I know that it can happen to me, so I protect myself and I rely on the grace of God too. So I'm not just being a pointer, telling you, do this. There are things I do myself. I've been doing them for years. There's a limit you can get to when you come close to me. I'm telling you. There's a limit you can get to as a lady close to me. A limit. You can never come to a point where you can come and just be touching me or I'll be touching you. No, there's a limit. And don't tell me that it's the devil who made you do it. If you know that this person has HIV, this guy or this lady has HIV, you know, not that you have heard, you have seen the medical report, you know. No matter how he or she tempts you, you will never sleep with her or him. No matter the demons that are pushing you, you say, no. I won't do this. No. That is the mind that you must look at sexual sin. That this thing, if I do it, God will forgive me. God will forgive me. God forgives sin. But it is like sleeping with somebody with HIV. God will forgive you, but the HIV you will get. If you value your future, and you value the anointing on your life, you value purpose and destiny, you will be careful with how you open up yourself for some of these things. Somebody will slap his wife and say it was the devil. He said, you are lying. Why did the devil put you to slap a soldier man or a macho man? Why does Satan push you to slap him? No matter the demons, you say, no, I bind you in Jesus' name, I won't slap. Hallelujah. God will help us. Amen. Now, this doesn't mean that you must live in fear. It doesn't mean you must live in fear. Fear is also a work of the flesh. So I'm not saying live in fear. It's like when you see a brother or a sister, they say, Onoka, or Betimiari. No, please. No. You should be free. Open your mind. Don't have any evil mind for anybody. Just that there are boundaries that must be respected. And there are limits that must not be crossed. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet. We want to pray. You see, I've spoken in parables a lot. And the reason is that God knows everybody and the situations you are going through. I'm a human being, I don't know. But God has spoken in the parable. And so whatever points that you see that you must be mindful of, you take it into prayer and then you take it to heart. Let's get to prayer. Let's go before the throne of grace. Let's ask God for mercy and for help. Mercy to cover our failings. Help to keep us strong. Help to enable us. Stay on course.
help to enable us to fulfill our ministry, our calling. Koriandabaha sukata. Libra to shibra hatala. Mandoroboko zibro kodosha. Mandarabako libra kalozi inkata. Lobaha dibro ko zibro hotahara. Lamba yakolian derebikatulian da sikada. Libro do ho shikahandalbaha sukete. Mandoroboko zibro doshi. Imakayando kabaha libro dosa. Oh, help us, Lord. 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 Give us wisdom. Give us strength, O God. Strength, O God. Oh, for we cannot cast out the flesh, O God. But this flesh, this same flesh can destroy us. Give us the strength, the wisdom to ignore it. The strength to overcome it, O God. The strength to live for you. To walk according to the Spirit. Give us strength, O God. Libra ko zibrahata. Mandoroboko sikaha. Makayanlo sikrahando. Mankoroboko sikriheta. Sandoroboko saha. We are praying this prayer also. One of the keys is to present your body to God as a living sacrifice. We are presenting our bodies to God. Every organ of our body, we are presenting to God. The Father, I present my hand to you. I present my lips to you. I present my sex organ to you. I present my eyes to you. I present every part of my body to you. Use them as instruments of righteousness. Let's begin to pray. We present our body parts to you, O God. We present our bodies to you. God needs our bodies. God needs our bodies. The devil too wants our bodies. But we choose to present our bodies to God. We bring our bodies under subjection to the obedience of our spirit. In the name of Jesus. Libra to shibra hakaka. Mandoro bokosi. Malo krobohosa. Libro kalabahana. Li krapahatosi. Maliandoro bokosi. Lo zabaha libra kudasa. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. For by strength shall no man prevail. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Only your grace can sustain us, O God. Keep us on the path. Let us not turn aside from following you. We want to finish the course. We want to get to the highest point. We want to get to the point that you want us to get to. We don't want to be part of the wasted generation, O God. We don't want to be castaways. We don't want to be people who started and never finished. We don't want to be bywords and proverbs. People who say this person was the first to do this, but now he's no more. This person was the first, but now he's no more. We don't want that, O God. We want to stay relevant in your before your eyes. Like Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, though they were dead, they were living before you. We want to be relevant. We want to bear fruit even in old age. Father, help us. Give us mercy. Help us. Help us. Give us grace. Give us mercy. Give us mercy, O God. Give us mercy, O God. Have mercy on us and give us more grace. More grace. More grace to live for you. More grace, O God. More grace. More grace. More grace. More grace. Deliver us from settings that will lead to compromise. Deliver us, O God, from evil. And give us wisdom to avoid settings that will lead to compromise. In the name of Jesus, give us wisdom, O God, the presence of mind. Strengthen our inner man with might by your spirit. In the name of Jesus, strengthen our inner man with might by your spirit. Let that same spirit who raised Christ from the dead quicken our mortal bodies. Give life to our mortal bodies. Silence our mortal bodies, O God. Help us, O God. Help us. Because you are able to help us. In the name of Jesus. We are praying this prayer. We are praying for Ghana. We are praying that the will of God will be established this year over this nation, that the agenda of the wicked one will not prevail. As a church, we are intercepting every arrow or agenda of the wicked one and superimposing the agenda of God. Let's begin to pray. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Libra katayalos mandoroboko taha. Lo brahandi brakokosi. Manlo kosi brahatala. Mando brokosi. Ikra malosi kata. I malokolosa. Mandaria losi kata. Ro pahata yakute. I koloboho saha. Mandi brotozi inkaduza. Le brogozi yahaga. In the name of Jesus, we intercept every plan of the wicked one concerning this nation. Concerning this nation for this year, in the name of Jesus, every mission, every agenda, every orchestration of the wicked one, every ambition, we frustrate it in the name of Jesus. Every plan, ploy, every architecture of the wicked one in the spirit, we pull it down. We pull it down in the name of Jesus. Let their wombs miscarry their plans. Let their breasts be dry, not to nourish their plans and their evil deeds. In the name of Jesus, tie their hands behind their back, that don't be able to perform their enterprise. In the name of Jesus, we pray, intercepting every counsel of the devil. It is the counsel of God that will stand. We superimpose the will of God for this nation. We declare that no violence, we declare that no bloodshed, we declare that no instability. We declare in the name of Jesus, let the angel in charge of Ghana arise and be strong. Let him wage warfare on behalf of the church. We will not allow the agenda of the wicked to stifle God's revival, to stifle God's agenda. It's impossible. We have authority to do that. And in the name of Jesus, we issue a decree. We issue a decree to the spirit, into the atmosphere, that peace prevail in Jesus' name. Peace be still. In the name of Jesus, we speak to the hand of the devil. Relent in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you, O God. We pray that you give us strength. It is not your will that any of us should perish. But Lord, this thing called flesh is what battles against your purpose for our lives. But Father, we are thankful that you have shown us the way. All that we ask is strength. All that we ask is mercy and grace, mercy and help, that we'll be able to stand on our course without turning to the left or turning to the right. We pray, oh God, that we thank you that you always lead us triumphantly into victory. And we know that you will help us, oh God. It is my prayer that, Father, you will release the spirit of self-control, the fruit of the spirit of contentment, the spirit of patience, the spirit of long-suffering, the ability to stay, the ability to stay on course, not to be enticed to the left nor to the right. Grant us that ability, O God, in Jesus' name. We pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah.